What's going on, guys? Welcome to episode 27 of the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast, where each week we talk about all the news we covered on the site, all the reviews, all of the fun stuff, and we just try to geek out. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, we get a little kickback, and that helps this podcast keep on going. With me, as always, I have Derek. What's up, Derek?
Not much, Bob. How you doing today?
Tired.
Tired?
Yeah. I think my allergy, I might sneeze during the podcast, so my allergies are kind of bothering me a little bit, but...
Gotta get that under control.
Yes. But we will jump right into it with our reviews this week, and we are starting with the BitPhoenix Prodigy M Micro ATX case. I'm sure most of you listening to this podcast have heard of the BitPhoenix Prodigy. And this is the larger version of that, which is Micro ATX. Still just a great case. I think, wouldn't you say the original Prodigy is probably one of the most popular mini ATX cases of all time, I would say?
I would agree a lot because it's kind of like almost the original, you know?
Yeah.
But not the first, obviously, but like since the small form factor case became popular in recent time, I believe this was just about the first one to kind of take the step that way.
Yeah, this was like the first one that really, I guess, kind of raised the bar, and it's not just some like little dinky case.
Exactly.
So they made it bigger, obviously, and they've upgraded some things. They made the handles better. So that was an issue with the original Prodigy, was sometimes the handles weren't sturdy enough and they would fall off and things like that. They've done all of that. They've added a sort of like a soft touch finish treatment on the external panels as well, so kind of give it a better feel. They've done some upgrades to this and obviously made it bigger, and I think, you know, for people who are trying to build this like extreme LAN rig, I think that mini ITX is sort of limited just because you can't do a dual graphics card setup.
Yeah.
So with this you can, you know, Micro ATX allows you to do that.
Yeah.
I think this is just a great, another, you know, just another great case from BitPhoenix.
And, yeah, for sure.
I think Prodigy fans of the original are going to really like this if they want to go ahead and upgrade to Micro ATX. Just an all-around great case. They offer it in a bunch of different colors, too. So this can match your build. It can match your motherboard. You can do whatever. And, of course, BitPhoenix also offers, like, LED strips and things like that. So you can actually have it match, like, you know, have those colors match as well.
Nice.
Just a great all-around case. I think it's around only $100, I think.
Oh, that'd be really good.
Yeah, I believe that's what it is. I think it's like $96 or something for the entire, you know, for the case.
That's good value.
Yeah, really good value. Again, if you're looking to, you know, build a smaller, you know, not, I wouldn't say this is super small, but a smaller LAN rig that you do have the ability to have more than one expansion card. Obviously, you can fit water cooling in here, which we did in our build. You know, you can fit a lot of stuff in here, full ATX power supply, all that kind of stuff. So this, you can really build sort of like an ultimate system in this case, and it's going to look good.
Yeah. Like, the original was, like, the case to, like, cram water cooling into.
Yeah.
And I like this one because you can do a lot larger radiators in it. Kind of the, not, like, incredibly long ones, but... some of the less popular, wider radiators.
Yeah, and it is reverse ATX as well, so that is kind of cool, a little bit different. We don't see that a lot either. And that what that enables you to do is on the opposite side panel, not the side panel you're used to seeing a window on the opposite side panel you have a window, and that's going to go ahead and show all of your components.
Yeah, that's really nice for water cooling because then you can see the top of the blocks with all the channel flow and stuff. So.
Yeah.
It shows off your expensive water cooling parts better.
Yeah, so just a great all-around case. Like I said, not that expensive either.
Oh, that's what's crazy.
Probably
a good buy. If you're looking in this size for a case, this is probably the one to get at that
price.
This
is one of the best cases, I would say, for Micro ATX.
Yes.
Not only in looks, but again, you can fit a lot in there. It seems to be done really, really well.
They're good quality cases.
Yeah, they're good quality cases, and again, you can do a pretty awesome mod with this. How many Prodigy mods have we seen? You know, so this is one of those cases where you can really build an awesome system. And again, it's inexpensive, which I can't say enough about. I mean, yeah, it's around $90 for the case, which isn't bad at all. So yeah, I would definitely recommend the case for sure. So we'll move on from that to our second review and our last review of the week. We only did two reviews this week. I reviewed the Kingston Data Traveler Locker Plus G3. I know it's a really long product name, but I reviewed the 30. It's a 32 gigabyte USB 3.0 flash drive. And the biggest thing about this is data protection. You know, USB flash drives, we all at least have had one in our lifetime, I feel. And the biggest thing about those is that if you leave it somewhere, somebody has access to your data most of the time. Yeah. So with this, what it is, it's password protected, which means that the other side of the drive where all your data is cannot be accessed at all if you don't enter the password, which is good. It can't be accessed in any form whatsoever. And on top of that, if somebody enters a password wrong 10 times in a row, it's going to automatically format itself.
Really?
So it's going to automatically clear all the data off the drive. So if somebody's trying to brute force it or something like that, it's going to automatically go ahead and just wipe it off, which is good, which I like. The only downside to that is that you can't really use this flash drive, say, as a boot drive or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because it needs the password to access it, and you obviously can't do that in the BIOS or anything like that. Yeah. And it's only – you can only use it on Mac and PC. You can't use it on Linux or anything like that because the program that they use for the password is not supported.
That's weird.
But, I mean,
I kind of would have thought – to me, this is like a – I guess not, but I would – originally I was thinking that this is like a device that somebody that is like a – system admin would carry, you know, when they're carrying sensitive information around.
Yeah.
And so they're generally working with a Linux-based system, but...
Yeah.
Or a Unix system, but... I guess this could probably be more for... Or it could be for your, like, exec as well that's carrying company information.
So you... Yeah, you have all that data protection. And on top of that, it is the Locker Plus. What that actually means is that it comes with this USB to cloud program. And what that does is that you select your cloud provider. I tested it with Dropbox, and anytime you put something on the drive, it automatically uploads it to my Dropbox.
Cool.
And it supports all of the, you know, it supports SkyDrive, it supports Google Drive, it supports pretty much all of the cloud,
the major
cloud services. It's really cool. So, you know, say I do leave this drive around, I don't have to worry about somebody getting into my data, but of course my data's gone, right?
Right, exactly.
So with this, like I said, all you do is whatever. Anytime you put a file on this, it's automatically uploaded. Nice. And of course, in that software, you can go ahead and set it so only certain files in certain folders will be uploaded.
Yeah.
Or you can just have it do all of your files, which I like. It's just a nice little value add-on to the drive. The drive's USB 3.0, so it has really fast speeds. I think I tested it. It was around 150 megabytes a second read and about 90 megabytes a second write.
Not bad.
Yeah, so it's pretty good for this flash drive is not made for speed. But you know, USB 3.0, you're gonna have all of that. It's just a good drive. It's pretty heavy too. It's an all metal casing, which I like, which again, that's also gonna protect it. So I have had flash drives that do just break just because they're poorly made and plastics. This is all metal. So it's just a all around really good drive. Yeah, definitely one I would recommend if you're looking to protect your data. You know, you have sensitive information or something like that, or you just don't want people to see your data. You know, they need a password to get into it. It's not something that can be kind of brute forced or anything like that, which I like.
Yeah. So does it also software encrypt when you put the data on it as well? Or is it just the hardware encryption?
It's the hardware encryption.
Okay, so if they do happen to be able to get onto it,
if they do have your password, it is a free for all. But you shouldn't tell people your password. We all know how that story goes.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I really like it. I just like it that you can't access the other side of the drive without your password. That's kind of, you know, and I do like the fact that it does have that. It does have the ability to format itself if somebody's trying to brute force it, which I like.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, so they offered an 8 16, 32, and 64 gigabyte versions. So if you're looking for a flash drive, this is definitely one that I would recommend. And again, that USB to cloud thing is actually pretty cool. I like that as well. Yeah. So,
one last question.
Yes.
When it formats itself, is it still usable?
That's a good question. I didn't really test that.
Yeah, you should lock it up and then, you know, do the password.
Yeah, I would assume. See what happens. I would assume once it formats itself,
it's like open again.
Yeah, it's like okay, then recreate a password and do all that.
Okay.
I think that would make sense.
Yeah, I'm just curious if it. I would hope it's that way because I'm someone who forgets passwords sometimes.
Okay.
And I wouldn't want to like ruin my drive if I.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it would do. I mean, that would make sense, right?
It'd make more sense, yeah. But it'd be neat to, like, I don't know, if it was stolen, you'd want it to get destroyed because then they can't even use it. But
yeah. But again, if it does get stolen, they're not going to have access to your data, which is the most important thing.
That's mostly important.
Yeah. One other cool thing, it does have a 5-year warranty, which is pretty long.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't think most of us have flash drives for more than 5 years.
Yeah. That too, so but yeah, overall really, really good drive. I liked it. I would totally recommend it for sure. We'll move on to our articles this week, and we did another Windows 10 article. This one was how to significantly improve battery life in Windows 10. I know a lot of people who have laptops and other portable devices have upgraded them to Windows 10, and Windows 10 has new features now that help you save and improve your battery life, which of course is very important, especially if you're somewhere where you can't plug in, say a plane, say you're just out somewhere and every Panera Bread I go into has like literally two outlets in the entire place. It's crazy. And people like hover over them like they're like hawks. It's like, so Windows 10 has a couple new features. One of the newest things is their new what is it called? It is the battery
saver.
Yes, the battery saver. I don't know why that I totally forgot about that. But it is the battery saver, and what this does is it. There's a lot of different things you can do in it. The biggest thing is that when your PC goes into gets down low into a certain threshold, it's set at 20%. What that allows you to do is it turns off all of background applications, it dims your screen, all of that. We've seen that before on a lot of different devices that will kind of go into like a power saving mode. So Windows 10 has that now, and you can actually sort of configure that, which is cool. So instead of 20%, maybe you can set it to 50% or whatever you may like. You can also go in and change the applications that are allowed to run in the background. Which is a big thing. So if if you have applications that are transmitting data, that is actually going to use your battery. I mean, of course. So you can actually turn these off. You can turn them off. Let them. You know.
Can you actually turn Chrome off?
To run in the background? Yeah.
Yeah, to keep it from running in the background.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's a feat right there.
Any application that you want, you can turn off from running in the background. You can also go ahead and see your battery use. So you can actually see what applications are using the most battery.
Okay.
Which is actually really cool. So if you see something in there that you don't use but it's using a lot of your battery, that's something you may want to look at. You know?
For sure.
You can go ahead and you can do that. You can actually one really cool thing, too, is in the action in the Action Center on Windows 10, you can sort of toggle your battery saver on and off, is kind of cool. So say you're like, say I'm at Panera, and I'm going to go to the bathroom, or I'm going to go pick up my food, or whatever. I can toggle a battery saver so I'm not so when I walk away, I'm not using as much power.
It's kind of a manual threshold, kind of.
Yeah, so I can kind of toggle it off and on if I want to. Those are the sort of the main big things in Windows 10. And then, of course, there's other things that we always recommend. Just like in Windows 7 and Windows 8, you can set your own your power plan. And obviously, you either want something balanced or low power if you're really, worried about your power, you can go ahead and set that. And then we have other certain things that we list, like obviously turn off Wi-Fi and Bluetooth if you're not using them. Don't leave any device connected with, like, a USB device, a mouse or something that you're not using. don't leave that connected. Obviously, turn down your screen brightness. That's a big one. Only run the applications that you need. So if you have a bunch of applications open, that's obviously using more CPU power, and that's obviously using more battery.
If you have a bunch of stuff running when you turn your machine on, you should probably clean that out.
And then finally, use a darker wallpaper. So, you know, colors like white and red actually increase the power uses of your display. So use, like, a, you know, a darker wallpaper. And yeah, those are pretty much the main things. We really went over the battery saver in the article, so if you want to check that out, it kind of show you how to get in there and change things around and get more battery out of your device.
Sweet. Good work, Bob.
Yes. Windows 10, all about it.
Privacy, not a concern for Bob.
You're all weird about that. I'm not.
I am.
They can record anything that I do. I'm not really concerned about it. Maybe they're listening right now and they want to send me a bunch of stuff. Microsoft, go ahead.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to that to Case Mod Friday, which today is Friday. So we have Case Mod Friday, which is the section of the site where we feature a case mod that's been completed in the community. We've been doing this for a long time, and it just gives us a chance to showcase somebody's work. You know, case mods are what really kind of fuel a lot of the industry that we are in, and it's just a cool way to see what people can do. And last week we did Superman, so this week I figured we would do
why
another,
not do it? Yeah,
we'll do another themed sort of mod, and we have Iron Man, and I actually really, really like this. The amount of work that this guy did just on the case itself, a lot of, he did custom etching on the side.
Laser etching.
He did custom etching on the top, or on the front, and he did the, what's the?
Custom, took like a custom backlit logo on it. Well, it's the chest piece from Iron Man.
Yeah, so it's really, really cool. Obviously, all Iron Man colors. He did it in the Fantex Inthu Evolve Micro ATX case, which you reviewed that, didn't you?
No, I did the Mini ITX.
Oh, gotcha.
The other Derek did this one.
Gotcha. But this is a really good case. I'm surprised we haven't seen more mods in this case, because I feel like it's just a solid case.
You know why we don't? Because Fantex is too good, and all of their cases are, like, pre-modded.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, a really... There's, like, when you get one, if you ever get one, there's very few things that you, like, can do to it that need to be done, no matter what you're trying to do. Like, water cooling, you name it, Fantex builds a really good case.
Nice.
So I think that's why we don't see as many. There's just not as many changes that need to be made, but this is awesome.
Yeah, so this guy, he did a lot of cool stuff. So he did a custom PSU cover, he obviously did a custom water cooling loop, dual radiators inside, which is pretty crazy.
Painted those red.
Yeah, painted all of those red.
Everything is themed, of course.
Yeah.
That goes without saying.
He did the, like I said, the front is the Iron Man, the mask, I guess. And then the eyes of it actually light up. It looks really, really cool. Just a really well done mod. I think that, I don't know. I really didn't see this, and I was just, like, looking for stuff for this, for Case of My Friday, and I saw this, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of you know, you look at these, and like, oh, yeah, he did this, he did that, and you don't realize how much work actually goes into a lot of these. And this guy did a really, really good job. He actually he redid the side panel with the window, made the window a little bit bigger, and did some other stuff to it.
It's, to get it to look how he did, I mean, the custom mods aren't, like you said, there's not a huge list of, like, custom mods that he did, but, like, what he did do, they're all perfect, so,
yeah.
And that's what's difficult to get, is, like...
And that's what's great about this, is it is a theme mod that's done, I wouldn't call it 100% perfect, but it's done very, very well.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at this, you're gonna be like, okay, this is what he went out to do, and he did it.
All the little Iron Man touches are professional.
Yes.
They all feel incredibly professional.
Yeah, very, very well done. I would say, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just the case, but I just really like this. Like, it's one of my favorite ones that we've done so far.
I wouldn't say it's one of my favorites, but I like it as well.
Yeah, very, very well done. It's by Deluzio Customs. I guess he is a custom modder, obviously.
Yeah, I was kind of reading those. He says this is his yearly build, so this is his personal one.
Yeah.
Obviously, he does something for as far as work in the custom market, but
yeah, for
I'm
sure.
Not sure what he does.
So definitely check it out. Obviously, we linked to the full build log, so if you want to see how everything went together, you can go ahead and do that. And if you do have a case mod of your own and you want to submit it, we have a submit your case section on the site where you can go ahead and submit your case. You can also email to cases@thinkcomputers.org, and we will go ahead and feature you. So
do it now.
Yes, do it. So now we're going to go ahead and move on to news. And I would say the biggest thing of the week is that AMD officially announced the Radeon R9 Nano. There were so many leaks this week, but we'll just cover the release article because that has everything in it.
Yeah.
So the biggest revelations about this card, I would say, was that it is a fully configured Fiji GPU. Which a lot of people didn't think it would be.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, or it was rumored it was going to be GIMPed, right?
Yeah, it was going to be a cut-down version, which is expected. I mean, that's how everything is. But it is a fully featured Fiji GPU, so you have 4,096 stream processors, 64 ROPs, 256 TMUs, and 64 compute units. That is the exact same configuration as the Fury X.
Sweet.
So, yeah.
However...
but the card is clocked down, obviously.
Significantly.
So that is the, you know, the kind of, I wouldn't say downfall of the card. I'm waiting to see actual real reviews and real benchmarks when this comes out. But
I'm with you on
AMD
that.
AMD also released a little graph that showed that it's 30% faster than the GTX 970. I would say it should be close in comparison to the GTX 980, which there were, you know, people are like, oh, well, that doesn't really matter, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
But if you look at the size of the card, it's a 6-inch card.
True.
That is as powerful as a GTX 980 or possibly. That's awesome.
Someone tells me it's going to be slightly slower than a 980. Because they're not comparing it to the 980.
Well, the reason they compared it is because of its size. The GTX 970 has a mini ITX version, yep. So they compared it to that. But I mean, you could also be right because why show it if it's not going to be, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know that its main feat is that it's small, right?
Agreed. Small in the power consumption, yeah. Or the, you know, it's a 175 watt card, which is pretty. Pretty
but they have to know that it's still about performance.
Yes.
At the end of the day. So I'm looking at the price tag of $649. And then you can get a 670 for $329. And, excuse me, a 970 for $329. And a 980 for $499.
Yeah.
So I guess if size is an absolute must for you, this is a good card.
I feel that if it beats the 980, how much is a 980 Ti?
A Ti? Yeah, I didn't look at that. I want to say 650 to 700. 679, right around there. Just below the 700.
Yeah.
So right in the same price range, actually.
Yeah, so... obviously, we know this is not going to beat the 980 Ti. We know that because the Fury X doesn't beat it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
I think this is going to be a good bit below that at the clock speeds.
Yeah. So I think they should have done 599.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I honestly thought this was going to be actually more in the 450 range.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll have to see performance.
Can you imagine spending $650 on a card that is not even close to the fastest on the market?
Yeah, that's a little,
That's disappointing to me. I don't know what AMD is doing. Honestly, I don't know what they're doing these days.
See, I think that if it was priced correctly, it would totally blow the 970 and the 980 out of the water. But but as you said, it's not priced...
they're not winning the price war right now.
Yeah.
So
we'll see.
It's still a really cool card. I won't say that. It's tiny.
I think the technology in the card is something that is very, very impressive. To have that much performance in a small card like that, we've never seen something like that.
And off of a single 8-pin.
Yeah, single 8-pin connector, 6-inch card.
And I would say, well, obviously you throw a water block on this, and then you overclock it past the Fury X, right? But it's only got a single 8-pin, so you're not actually going to be able to do that much with overclocking, I would guess, just because you don't have the power base for it.
Yeah, that too. So. We'll see. It was just announced, so we have no reviews yet. I believe those will come out next week.
Again, you always got to wait for the reviews.
Yeah, so I would just wait. But it is a very cool card. I think that, you know, with the new HBM, and just like we talked about with the Fury X, like these are, the technology in them is amazing, but it's just not competitive, I feel.
Yeah.
And the prices, I mean, if this was, like you said, like $450, I think it would be a good place for this card.
Yeah.
You know.
Which I guess could happen. Because that's MSRP.
Yeah, I think.
But that's quite a bit lower.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to drop that much. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I mean, you know, if you're, I would say if you're going to be building a small form factor PC, this is a card to definitely look at.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
There's probably nothing better in this size. I mean, guaranteed there's nothing better.
Yeah, AMD did say it's the fastest mini ITX card in the world, which is probably true.
Yeah.
Nothing that size is going to beat it. But again, you know, we do have these mini ITX cases that make room for larger cards. A lot of them do.
Like most of them now.
Yeah, most of them now are made like that because that's how cards have been. So that's not a huge, that's not a huge deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, in some cases it might be, but most cases are made to support a larger graphics card now.
Yep. And they've got, like my micro or my mini ITX here, they've got a little slide where my extra long 690 slides right under. No problem. Yeah. Still can put all of the drives and everything in it. No problem. So.
Yeah. So I think we'll see how this plays out in the next couple of weeks. Really excited to see reviews and see how well it does. You know, and see how it really does compare to a 970. You know,
yeah,
because I think
go ahead.
I think if you're looking for a mini ITX card, the 970 is the kind of the benchmark. That's the one to go to because that's going to give you the most performance in that small package.
Yeah, because you can't get a 980 in that size.
Yeah, so I would really like to see how this performs against that. And then, obviously, the 980 and 980 Ti. And the price range that they're asking, though, again, that puts it in this, that puts it above a 980, right below a 980 Ti. It's kind of...
It's priced as a flagship card.
Yeah.
But it's not flagship performance.
Exactly. So, we'll see. I would expect AMD to drop the price very soon, I think.
They have done that in the past. They've launched a card at one price, and like within a month, they've dropped it significantly.
Yeah, so we'll see how this goes. We'll see how this goes for AMD. I do like this card. Out of the entire new line, this was the one that I was most excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the one that I like the most, just because they put all of this in such a small package.
Yeah, I think that's more impressive than the whole HBM thing.
Yeah, just like the whole technology, and this is one of the first cards that I've ever seen that the actual reference card has dedicated cooling for the VRM.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't see that ever on a reference card. So that is actually really cool. I think that like AMD took a lot of time to really design this card and make it you know, the way it is. Because if you look, the Fury X is not necessarily small, and it needs water cooling, and then you have this. Which is based on the exact same chip, and it doesn't need water cooling, and it's half the size. Or no, I wouldn't say it's half the size, but it's very, very small.
Yeah, just not even close to the surface area.
Yeah, so a lot of really cool stuff that went into this. Again, I guess we just have to wait for the reviews.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Come on, AMD, you can do it.
Yes.
Reprice it, and then we'll buy.
Yes. So, talking about the GTX 980 Ti, MSI's GeForce GTX 980 Ti Lightning card was kind of leaked. Photos of it were leaked and detailed. This is
a significant leak.
Yeah, so this is has always been MSI's highest clocked and best performing card. Yeah. So we've seen Lightning cards in the, I think they started in the 600 range. I think that's when they started. And then obviously 7, 8, and we're on.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was 6.
So this card is actually really cool. They've kept the same color design as the yellow and the black. But one cool thing that they've done with this is they've kind of made it say OC on the
just looking at that.
On the cooler shroud, which is actually pretty cool. It has the cooling system on it is air cooled, but it is their tri-frozer design. That's 3 100 millimeter cooling fans. And again, that cooling shroud does say OC on it, which is actually, I feel really, really cool. And then you have 8 10 millimeter thick copper heat pipes and 2 aluminum fin stacks, which is pretty high-end cooling here. The actual PCB obviously is custom. The PCB has a 10-layer design, 15-phase VRM, gets power from 2 8-pin and 1 6-pin PCI Express connector.
Which is absurd.
It has voltage measurement points on it. It has dual BIOS, and the second BIOS is LN2 friendly. So if you want to do some crazy overclocking, you can go ahead and do that. You have the ability to control the fans independently. So if you want the middle one to go faster or whatever, you can control all of that. The card is factory overclocked. So it has a core clock of 1203 megahertz, and it boosts up to 1303. And the memory is at 7.1 gigahertz, the GDDR effective. Now, this is not the fastest GTX 980 Ti out there. I believe the Zotac card is faster. The Zotac Amp Extreme is faster. But that just leaves a lot of room for overclockers to even push this even farther, which I'm assuming once this launches, we'll see maybe some world records get beat with this card. Designed extremely well. Just an awesome card if you're looking to do overclocking.
This will hit the test benches for sure.
Yeah, so this is a really high-end card. I'm not sure of the availability or pricing or how many they're actually going to release.
7.
Yeah, I forget. Which one was that? Was that the...
I think we decided it was the 680.
No, it was the one after that.
It was? 780?
I believe it was the 780. I think they made 13 of that card.
So let's just look.
If you want to look it up.
All right. Well, you know what, Bob? We'll go with what you got.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Bob's got his money on the 780. We'll go with it. Never bet against Bob.
But this doesn't seem, because it's not insanely overclocked. I think this is good. They're going to make a good amount of these, I think.
Okay. Broader range of acceptable chips.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is that card. Very excited for that.
Cool card.
I would love to get one.
It's the opposite of that Nano we just looked at.
Yes. So we'll move on to motherboards. And we had 2 motherboard releases this week. One, I would say, is just in time for the R9 Nano.
Yeah.
So MSI launched their Z170i Gaming Pro AC Mini ITX motherboard. So this is obviously Z170 chipset in a Mini ITX motherboard. Part of their gaming line, which is really cool to see. We haven't seen a whole lot of Mini ITX with Z170 boards yet. Mm-hmm. The higher end ones, I would say, that we haven't seen a lot of.
No.
So cool to see MSI come out with this. This has a lot of really cool features. Obviously,
cool looking board.
It's a cool looking board. It does have an M.2 slot, which is actually on the reverse side of the board, which is kind of cool. So with this, you wouldn't even need a hard drive, really, if you wanted to use the M.2 for an SSD. You have SATA Express, SATA 6GB. Just a really cool, small little board. It has the MSI audio, which is 8-channel. 115 dB SNR codec, 6 USB 3.0 ports. The one thing that I did see missing on this board, there's no USB 3.1, which is kind of hard to fit in this board.
Yeah, but you'd still like to see it being a new board.
This is true.
So I really like the red traces on the right hand side coming from the memory.
Yeah, and I believe those light up.
Do they really?
Yes.
That's cool.
I believe when your XMP profile is enabled, those do light up.
Yeah, they do that on some of the other boards, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, very cool-looking board. Definitely one that if you're going to be building a smaller gaming system, definitely a board to look at. Has, you know, just a ton of great features. Obviously, MSI's gaming line is really good. Which board did we review from Z170?
MSI?
Yeah,
the M6?
No, the gaming... Yeah, the M7, or the M5 we reviewed.
M5, yeah.
The gaming M5. There's a lot of great gaming features built into this board. Really great BIOS, too, so I'm assuming it's the same on this board. Mm-hmm. So definitely, if you're looking to build a small form factor PC on Skylake, this is a board to definitely look at.
And if you're going to get a Nano, I mean, it's built for it.
Yeah, it's definitely built for it. But we'll move on to a larger board. Asus actually yesterday announced their Tough Sabertooth Z170 Mark I, which if you followed Asus at all, you know their Sabertooth motherboards. You know their Tough series. This is a board, if you really want full control of your board, you really want to monitor everything, you want a board that's going to last, this is the board to get.
yeah.
I forget how long the warranty is on this one.
Forever.
It's very, very long.
Yeah.
But all these boards go through these insane tests, and you actually get a certificate of certification with this board.
Really?
Like you've done it, like you know, the Asus has done in the past, showing you what tests they've actually have actually gone through, and the certification for all of those tests.
So you can 5-year warranty.
Yeah, 5-year warranty, which is pretty good. And this has a ton of things. There's temperature probes all over. I forget the last Sabertooth board that I reviewed. I forget how many temperature probes. It had like 8 or 9 on the board. It's just there's so much stuff on this board. Obviously built for Z170. Just a great, you know, this is going to be a board that you want a board. You want to build a system that's going to last you years. This is one of the boards to get. Not saying that other boards don't, but this has been tested.
Yeah. Engineered to do that.
Yeah, it's engineered to do that. It has a lot of cool things. It has dust covers for all of the connections and all that kind of
stuff. Just noticing that, how many there are.
Yeah,
they're everywhere.
It's, like I said, it's just a great board. It has the Tough armor on the front and on the back. Which obviously,
what do they call that? The one on the back is the...
Tough Fortifier.
Yeah, and it actually drops the temperatures as well because it's making contact with parts on the back of the board.
Yeah, it's made of metal, so you have all of that. Just a great board. And again, you're going to see a lot of really cool Z170 boards still come out because, you know, with all of these launches, a lot of these boards aren't ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of just... It takes a little while for them to come out, but they'll be coming out through the end of the year. And this is one of the ones that a lot of people were waiting for because there's... A lot of people are just Sabertooth fans. They like the board. They like the way it's designed. They obviously like the thermal armor and all that kind of stuff.
They're great for mod projects because you just take the armor off and paint it.
Yeah, and you can actually... There's a lot of sites that will sell this armor.
Right.
In different colors and all that kind of stuff, too. Yeah.
Custom armor.
Yeah, so it's very, very cool. I don't know the price of this. It's not going to be... These aren't super expensive boards either, which kind of is nice.
Around the $300 mark, usually?
Yeah, it all depends. It seems kind of high for this board. I would say $250, $249 for this board, I would think. It's not out yet. I checked this morning. It's not on Asus' website yet, so it hadn't been just announced.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this should be out, I would say, in the next week or so. And definitely check it out. If you're into the Sabertooth brand, if you're not, it's definitely still a great board to look at. You know, because
maybe try one out for the first time.
Yeah, definitely a good board. Definitely a board I would recommend for Z170 as well. So we'll move on to cases, and this case was actually shown at Computex, one that I really liked. It is the Inwin 805, and it's pretty much. We've seen the crazy Inwin designs and everything like that, but this is still pretty interesting. But it's more in a case form factor,
It's a rectangle.
Yeah, it's not the crazy form factor that we've seen from Inwin in the past, which I like. This makes it more affordable and for more people to kind of get a really cool system built in this. So it's basically a normal tower case, except for the side panels are glass.
tempered glass. Yeah.
Yeah, which is actually really, really cool.
And the front, it looks like as well, right?
Yeah, the front, it looks to be glass as well. So, yeah, this is a really, really cool case. It's an ATX case, which is good because a lot of these that we've seen are smaller. Mm-hmm. So this will fit ATX no problem.
Full ATX.
Yeah. It just looks really, really good.
It's a good looking case.
From the pictures that I saw from Computex, it looked really good as well. The actual front part kind of lights up too, which is pretty cool. Just to be able to see all of your components. Both side panels are glass, so the back and the front you can actually see through.
Hope your cable management is on spot.
Yes. Which I have that problem sometimes.
This case is not for our friend Mark.
And I know that we're going to be getting one into review soon, so nice. I'll be taking a look at that. And one really cool thing about this case is that the they're offering a C version, so it's 805-C, that instead of having USB 3.0 on the front, it's going to have USB 3.1. Oh, so it's kind of cool that we're starting to see that now. So we're starting to see USB 3.1 kind of come into cases. You know, when USB 3.0 came out, we had that as well.
Slowly moved its way in.
Yeah, so they're going to have a version of this that's going to have USB. And it's a Type-C connector, too. It's not. I think it's one Type-A and one Type-C in the front.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to see. I wonder how long till they phase out the original USB connector.
I don't know. I think that they will. Now we're going to start to see, instead of the two USB 2.0s and then the what we're going to see is two USB 3.0s and then the USB 3.1 with a Type A and a Type C.
Right. That's what I'd like to see by now. I mean, you can connect all your non-USB 3.0 devices to three connectors or ports. So why even? I guess maybe the 3.0 is more expensive, but just do away with the old.
Yeah, it is more expensive. And the thing is, too, is that, you know, not all motherboards have two USB 3.0 headers.
That's true.
You think of that as well. So, I mean, there are boards that do. A lot of the boards that we reviewed have them. Yeah. But a lot of boards have a USB 3.1 header, and then you have the two or three USB 2.0 headers.
Right.
So you have to think about that as well. But it's cool. It's going to be cool to see USB, you know, especially coming towards the end of the year, we're going to see a lot more USB 3.1 devices come out. Actually, we just got a flash drive in that's USB 3.1 as well.
Nice. Was that our first 3.1 device?
Yes. And then Sweet. We have a couple hard drive docks coming in that are also 3.1. So we'll be testing a lot of that stuff in the upcoming weeks.
That's something to look forward to for sure.
Yes. See the difference in speed and all of that. Move on from there to a really interesting product. We got sent this press release from a company that we had never heard of. It's called Phononic. I think that's how you say it. And they're introducing a solid, which was, when I read this, I was like, this is really weird. A solid state CPU cooler.
I was confused when I clicked on it because I was like, wait a minute. It says solid state. Why am I looking at a cooler?
Yeah, so... it's very interesting. The company actually has an Indiegogo campaign running for this cooler. This company is mainly makes like refrigeration type things, those type of things. And I guess the cooler it's
a heat exchanger, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically like a heat exchanger. They call it the solid state heat pump, and inside of there is an 80 millimeter fan that actually has enclosed blades, which is kind of weird. But this thing is very, very small. If you go to their website or go to the Indiegogo campaign, you can see how small it is. And it's supposed to offer really good performance for such a small
size.
Yeah, for such a small cooler. You know, the thing about these is that we've over the years we've seen coolers like this, and they've never really taken off. You know,
Or maybe not even come to the market altogether.
Yeah. It's just like not a lot of people get into this whole heat exchange thing because believe me, over the past 10 years we've seen a handful of these.
Yeah,
the people are like, oh, this is going to revolutionize CPU cooling, and it just never takes off. I'm not exactly sure. You know, with the heat exchanger in there, too, I don't know how much power this thing is going to use.
Yeah, because heat exchangers, it uses electricity to pass heat. So,
yeah, see, that's...
And usually they're pretty... Because they're... it's kind of something that's tinkered with in, like, there's some like kind of the LN2 type guys, like they do, there's other types of cooling, right, that are not mainstream at all.
Yeah.
And heat exchange is kind of one of those things, but they always are incredibly power hungry.
Yes, that's, yeah, so it's, you know, I mean, and the thing is, it's like, this, I would assume this needs connected. It's not going to use just a simple motherboard header. I mean, you're going to have to connect this to your power supply.
Yeah, I would, definitely Molex or...
Yeah, so that's the issue I see with this. And like I said, these things sometimes don't take off like they should.
Yeah, and you said it's an Indiegogo, so...
Yeah, and the Indiegogo it's only raised $1,675 in 9 days. And they're looking for $48,000, and it doesn't seem like...
That doesn't even... This doesn't even seem like enough to get this going, but...
Yeah, we'll see. You know...
Like you said, we see a lot of things that are tempting, stuff like this, but whether it actually comes to fruition is...
Yeah, it would be great to see it. I would love to test this and actually see how well it does. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
You know...
That'd be fun.
But just to come into the actual consumer market with this, it would be very hard. Because, you know, we have the things that we go to. You know, somebody asks, oh, what's a good AIO? You usually say Corsair. What's a good air cooler? You know, you usually say Noctua or, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like we have the things that are set, and to actually change somebody's mind to use something that's totally different.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, there's guys that will do it. You would see if you saw somebody like Noctua come out with this.
Yeah, I think
it would probably sell.
I think that a for these, especially the CPU cooling, because it's not a huge market.
No.
And I think that a company like this needs to team with, say, a Corsair, because if Corsair can't, everybody would buy it.
Yeah.
You know, because they have.
And they could also make it more affordable, I would guess, too.
Yeah.
I don't see this being that cheap.
Well, it was $69 for the.
Oh, really?
That's
for the Indiegogo.
That's that one's sold out.
Okay.
So the next one is $97, which isn't super expensive. They said the regular price of it will be $139 if it comes out.
To buy this?
Yeah.
See, I think that's expensive.
Yeah, I would like to see...
Because essentially I see this as being an air cooler.
Yeah. I would like to see how it performs.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but, you know...
Because, essentially, it's what, trying to become the next AIO, essentially?
I guess, yeah.
So that's quite the market, or quite the established market already to take on there.
Yeah.
Good luck to them.
Yeah, I would like to see it. I think I think with all these products, the best thing to do would kind of to team with a known brand, because this I've never even heard of this brand before, and you know,
about warranty? You know, there's all those questions.
Yeah,
what happens if it breaks? Is this company still going to be here in a month from when I buy it?
Yeah, you know, that's the biggest thing. So we'll see how their Indiegogo campaign does. It doesn't seem to be doing that great right now.
Yeah.
Usually when things are crazy, like they're funded in a few days, and it's been 9 days, but. We will see how that all goes for them, I'm sure. So we'll move on to headphones. And Logitech is not... I wouldn't say it's a brand you really think about when it comes to headphones, I would say.
Mm-mm.
I actually owned a pair of their older headphones, which I really did like. I used them for a very, very long time. So they announced two new headphones. They have a wireless, which is their Logitech G933 Artemis Spectrum, and they launched a wired, which is the G663 Artemis Spectrum. And one really cool thing about these headphones is that they are the first headphones to offer both Dolby and DTS Headphone X surround options.
Really?
Yeah, so these are pretty, like, pretty well done.
Is it virtual, or is it, you know, is it virtual that we call it? 7.1, or is it actual drivers?
Not exactly sure. They just sent over their press release, so yeah. I'm not exactly sure.
They look...
Yeah. But a lot of people were talking yesterday when this was released that they were actually really, really looking forward to these.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they look crazy. They look really nice.
Well, not only they look good,
the list of features.
The list of features. There's a lot of things in this. You know, it just seems like they put a lot into this, and I think a lot of people do overlook Logitech. The last two Logitech mice that I reviewed were actually extremely well done.
Yeah, I've never had a Logitech product that I didn't like.
Yeah, and I think that what Logitech is doing now is they own the game for so long. And then you have these other companies come in and, you know, make products, and now they really have to compete, right?
Yeah. So, especially in, like, your gaming market, I guess, mostly gaming, is that, like, these other companies have created such strong brands and images that Logitech hasn't really done that.
Yeah.
As far as, like, an edgy look in their design and stuff. So this is definitely a step in the right direction, I would say.
Yeah, it's just, and the thing is, what's cool about these is you can completely. It seems like from what I'm reading that you can calibrate the headphones to your liking, which a lot of headphones don't offer either. You can really set everything up, you know. I'm trying to read this really quick. So yeah, I believe these also kind of compare with your cell phone, so you can actually take a call using the headset. While you're in game.
So you can have this hooked up wired to your PC and then also be connected via Bluetooth to your phone?
Yeah, and you can have it hooked up wirelessly to your PC.
Oh,
and
wow.
Your,
and your Xbox, PlayStation.
Yeah, whatever. And you can hook it up to a lot of different things, it seems like. Very, very cool. The lower end model will be $149. The higher end model, the 933, will be $199.
Which is probably the wireless version.
Yeah, it's the wireless version. And you can actually, all of the lights on these are RGB, so you can kind of customize them to look the way that you want. A lot of different, I mean, it has the G keys as well, which are programmable keys on the actual headset itself. Which
I was wondering.
I really like those on the older one that I had, so I can just like hit something on the headset. It just made it a lot easier. And it was really weird getting another headset that didn't have those. you know, just because I'm so used to hitting on the headset.
What do you even use that for?
Like, I mean, just simple things like mute. Oh, you know, okay. Like actually on the headset, so I can just hit.
Yeah,
it. You know what I mean? Just like that little things like that, or play pause. That's just like right there. Once you start doing it like that, it's so weird to not do it.
You have to like search for it on your keyboard.
Yeah, it's like where is this? Like, you know, you just hit it, and yeah. So very, very excited to see these. I want to get a pair of these into review for sure.
Yeah.
Because they seem really, really cool. You know. But yeah, good.
And high end. They seem really high end.
Yeah, really high end. Good for Logitech to not just put out something because they're Logitech, to actually
push the
kind of push the boundaries. And again, the first headphones to offer both Dolby and DTS Headphone X. That's really cool.
Yeah. So you should have when like viewing movies or something with them. You should have really, really good sound.
Yeah.
And gaming.
But, yeah, obviously these are made for gaming, but they're going to sound good for pretty much everything.
Yeah, with Dolby and DTS.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yes. So.
That's some really cool news.
Yes. I'm super excited about it. I don't know you are, but.
Yeah.
So.
You've had more time to be excited.
Yes. A new game was announced this week called Lawbreakers, and it comes from Cliffy B, or Cliff Bleszinski, who, if you don't know, is famously known for the Unreal Tournament series as well as Gears of War. So he left Epic Games in 2000. I don't know when he left Epic Games. I forget.
12?
Yeah, in 2012, which is kind of a big deal. A lot of people were wondering what he was doing. He started a new studio called Boss Key, and this will be their first game. Nobody really knew what it was going to be or what it was about, but this week they released the announced trailer, which kind of gives you a little background on the game. The game is going to be free to play, 5v5 multiplayer first-person shooter. Nice. And it's sort of set in the future where I guess there's like these low gravity zones, and they give you like superhuman powers and all that kind of stuff. It's very, very cool.
It kind of just creates a world where you can have unearth-like environments on Earth.
Yes. Yeah, so it seems really cool. The actual story seems kind of cool too, and that's one thing that he's always done in his games is have a really good story behind it.
I'd like to see like a paid-for single player. Like release the multiplayer free-to-play, And then, hey, you want to play single player in our really cool world we created?
Yeah, they could
You
do
know,
that. I
20
mean,
bucks, something like
I
that.
would say Gears of War was all of the Gears of War games were sort of my favorite, one of my favorite single player games, because the story was just so good.
Yeah.
I felt so. Yeah, I'm not sure what their plan is for single player. Right now, we just know it's going to be free to play, multiplayer, 5 versus 5, first person shooter. And actually, this morning, so that they released the announced trailer, which I would say go ahead and watch that first to get an idea what the game's about. And then just before we started the podcast, we both watched. They just released this morning the gameplay trailer, which shows off a few of the, I guess in each,
Four of the character
yeah,
types.
four of the character types. I know there's going to be more than just four.
Yeah, because they definitely didn't cover everything you can do.
Yeah, so they cover, I don't know, it's probably like what, 2 minutes long, a minute and a half long.
Yeah, about 2 minutes long.
It goes over some, it shows the gameplay, and it goes over some of the different characters that you can play, or the different classes, I would say, that you can play. Very Unreal Tournament like, which I do like. But I think free to play is becoming the big things. I mean, look how popular the free to play games like League of Legends and Dota 2.
How cool would it be if it like achieved like League of Legends level
I
status?
think that's what they're going for. I think
Yeah.
that, you know, if you look at what's the FPS that's being played at all,
Counter-Strike?
is it Counter-Strike, you know? And but the thing is, there hasn't been a real FPS, a real, I would say, deathmatch type FPS
Yeah.
since Unreal Tournament. I mean, on the Xbox level, everybody plays Gears. That's what people play in the, you know,
Yeah.
or had played for a while. I mean, it's older now. But I mean, a lot of people, it was Halo and Gears.
Yeah.
And now, if this comes out and for PC, it's going to be PC only, which I also like.
Yeah.
For at least to start, it's going to be for PC, which I love to see a game develop for PC, you know,
Because it
first.
plays right on
Yeah.
PC.
So if this becomes the new tournament game or whatever, oh man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, it's free to play, so you'll have a lot of good players, and there are a lot of people getting into the game.
As long as the I guess the money system doesn't break the game too badly. I think that's what kills free to play games, is if you can make your characters too powerful by paying for it, it kind of breaks the system a little bit.
Yeah, so we're not sure how the game's going to be, if it's just going to be free to play and you pick a character and you just play, right?
Yeah.
Or if you have a character who you level up. We're not exactly sure how it's going to go.
Yeah.
That hasn't really been explained yet. I would just like to see it just like an Unreal Tournament. You
Yeah.
don't, you know, you have your weapons, you have your guy, and you play.
Everybody
There's
has the same
no
things. And,
upgrades or anything
yeah.
like that. You have to know the maps. You have to, you know.
But how did they make money then?
That's a good question.
Advertising? I'd take some in-game ads. I
Yeah,
don't mind. I don't mind ads if
I mean,
it's
how does League of
funding it.
Legends make money?
There's upgrades. You can buy characters.
Is that the same thing with
They don't.
Dota?
Yeah, I believe so. The key to like leagues that makes it so good though is that it doesn't like buying the different characters doesn't necessarily mean that you're just smashing everybody else. It just kind of gives you more options.
Maybe that they'll do that, or like obviously custom skins and things like that you can
Yeah.
do. That's become very popular. We're not, again, we have no clue how they're going to do it. I'm just really
No, no,
excited
no.
because it has that Unreal Tournament feel.
Yeah.
We haven't
It.
seen a true deathmatch game come out that's caught on.
Yeah.
You know, we see Battlefield and all that stuff and Counter-Strike, but those are team games. I want to see a true, you know, it's just you. I mean, you can have team. I mean, this is a five versus
Yeah,
five,
5v5.
but it's not like a.
Build
It's.
your team, kind of.
Yeah,
Usually
it's.
it scrambles everything after every match, and
Yeah, so this is just something I'm really excited about. Obviously, coming from Cliffy B, it makes it something to get excited about as well, because the
yeah.
mechanics of
Is it,
all his games have been very, really, really good.
yeah. It just watch the trailers and the gameplay trailer especially, and you'll kind of get what we're talking about. It has a really good feel to it.
Yes. And I'm super excited. It's
Looks
supposed
really
to
fun.
launch sometime next year, so I mean, it's gonna be a while before this, but hopefully, maybe they'll have like an open alpha or something like that. We can kind of get in and play.
Yeah, I would think they would being free.
Yeah.
So we'll keep you updated, I'm sure.
Yeah. So it should be, like I said, it should be awesome when it comes out. And if there is a alpha or beta or whatever, we will definitely let you know about it. And maybe we could get some keys to give out to you guys to play.
Yeah, so for sure.
Pretty excited about that. Might get me more into playing PC games, which would be pretty awesome, I think.
Always need an excuse.
Yes. So that is it, right? Yes.
I think that's the news.
That is the news for the week. It was kind of a slow week. Just the big news was the R9 Nano. So we'll move on to what we have coming up next week. I have the OCZ Trion 100 solid state drive. That is sort of, I would say it's more of a Toshiba drive that's kind of called, you know, they put it under the OCZ brand
because
Toshiba really doesn't make consumer products, I would say, in that space.
Their SSDs never, I don't know, it just wasn't a strong SSD brand.
Yeah, so
for Toshiba, but OCZ obviously was.
Yeah, so what they've done is it's all Toshiba NAND. It's actually a Toshiba controller. It's not the Barefoot 3 controller from OCZ or anything. It's using all of Toshiba IP. And the only thing OCZ about it really is the
label on the top.
Is the label on the top, and it does use OCZ's Shield Plus warranty. That's about it.
Which is owned by Toshiba.
I've been testing it very solid across the board so far. Cool. I'm almost done testing it, so you'll see that next week.
Also, what size did you say?
480. I have. Okay. I think it comes up to 960, so you can get it in the full range. And just like most SSDs, as you go down in capacity, the speed changes.
Yeah, especially, is it an older controller?
We don't know. There's not much about the controller. I've been trying to ask them. They don't really want to say. Which is kind of interesting is if you open the drive up, the layout looks exactly like the Phison S10 drives that were reviewed, like all four or five of the ones that were reviewed. Yeah. The layout is almost exactly the same. So I don't know what, it's called the, I forget the name. It's like called the TG58 controller from Toshiba or something.
Okay.
But they don't want to give out any details about it. Which
because
is,
maybe it's just a copy.
We don't know.
But okay.
It's just weird because if you open the drive up and if you look at, like, say, the Corsair Neutron XT, if you put the two PCBs side by side, they look like pretty much identical.
You wouldn't know which is which.
Yeah. If the controllers were blacked out, you'd be like, oh, these are both the same drive. So it's kind of interesting, but we don't know. But we just know that the Toshiba controller is called, again, I think it's TG58 or something. I can't remember it offhand.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not saying it on the page either. So
yeah, so it's pretty solid across the board. Good performance.
Good.
You'll see that next week from me.
Looks like the price is good too. So
yeah, it's very well priced. Which you're going to see a lot of I think every podcast we talk about how the prices are going to keep on going down and down and down, and they are. Especially going towards the end of the year, you'll see a lot of. If you're looking to get a really big SSD, how long until Black Friday?
November, end of November.
Oh, that's good. So that's a little bit wide away.
A few months,
But
if you don't have one yet, I mean.
Yeah, that's gonna be the day to get some SSDs, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
For sure. So I will also be taking a look at a Z170 board from ASRock. So we haven't taken a look at one of their boards. So this is their Extreme 7 Plus, which is pretty much their highest rated board in the Extreme series. Yeah. Which I'm pretty excited to check out.
And what do you have it there?
I do have it here.
Is it gold and black, or is it?
I haven't opened
copper?
It
yet. Okay, it's hard to tell from the photos. Looks good.
Yeah,
looks similar. I mean, we've got the big shroud on the IO port.
Yeah, similar big shroud on the IO ports. It looks to be black and gold, kind of.
Yeah.
But
I think didn't they do black and gold? Or no, that was ASUS did black and gold. Last time, didn't
on Z97, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so they changed it around. We're excited to see how it does. ASRock has always been pretty solid across the board when it comes to their motherboards. A lot of cool things. This board seemed just kind of, I don't know. I don't know if it does it for me compared to like the Gigabyte board or the ASUS board.
You know,
When you're reviewing these, you find out a lot of cool stuff that's really not in the press release, you know, and things like that. So I'm pretty excited to see how this board will do. I'll be doing my unboxing of it today, I think. So we'll see how what it's all about.
Yeah.
And it does have the front panel USB 3.1. We saw that with the Gigabyte board. So, you know, this does give you front panel USB 3.1 if you want it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. a nice added feature.
Yes, for sure. So you do have that. So yeah, I'm really excited to take a look at it. I'll see how it does, and obviously next week you guys will see my findings.
Cool.
And then talking about Fantex, you were saying that, oh, if you get your hands on a Fantex case, blah, 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 you'll be really excited about it. Well, they had sent me their, how do you say it, Enthu?
Yeah.
Enthu Evolve ITX, but they sent me the special edition, which came out this week.
Sure.
So two special edition cases came out, the white with black interior and the black with red interior. And sweet. They sent me the one that has the red interior, which I'm pretty pumped about.
Sweet. Are you testing that?
Yes.
Awesome.
So we'll be doing a full video of the case, which you didn't do.
No.
So I'll be doing a full video of the case and obviously full review and all of that. So yeah, pretty excited about that as well.
Sweet. I mean, there's no big picture on their site of the black, but... oh, there it is. Yep,
you,
I see it now.
If you click it, yeah.
You got to double click it.
Yeah, you can go to it. And we had the release on the site as well. So yeah, really cool looking case. I mean, obviously you liked it. You're still using this, right?
It's just inches away from my fingers right now.
Yeah, you're still using it, so it must be a good case. So yeah, I'm really excited. I have seen these in person, but I haven't really got the time to tinker with one or build a system in one.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about that. That's why when they asked, I said, yeah, I will take it. And
it's got a lot of neat features, that's for sure.
Do a nice build inside and see what it's all about. So yeah, that's what we have coming next week. Yeah.
They've got a little link on their page to our review.
Oh, nice.
That's cool.
See, there you go.
Here we go. It's like we're famous, Bob.
Oh, you know. Hey, that's your review. You should be pretty happy.
I am. I'm thrilled.
So yeah. So that is what is coming next week. At the end of each podcast, we talk about something cool we might have done throughout the week. Did you do anything this week?
Yeah, well, I saw a movie.
What movie did you see?
I saw The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
What is that?
It's a spy movie. You haven't seen a trailer for it?
No.
It's kind of low-key. It's, like, really... It's kind of old-school spy movie mixed with... I don't know. It still had, like, good fight scenes and stuff in it. And it was hilarious at the same time. So, check out the trailer for it. It was well worth the price of admission, I would say. I would have given it probably a 9 out of 10.
Nice. I'll have to check that out. I'm not really familiar with it, I don't think.
It did not get that heavily advertised.
Yeah. Usually those are the good ones, which is kind of surprising, right?
Yeah.
Like, some of the best movies that I've seen over, in the past are not really, like, super big or have been advertised. Like, what's the one with Christian Bale?
Batman.
No. Before that,
out of the fire?
No.
Or the furnace? Or...
No.
Not that one?
No, I have to find it.
Okay.
We're gonna keep.
I thought for sure it would have been that one, because I think that's Pittsburgh or Philly.
I don't know. That's not what I'm looking for, though. I'll find it.
IMDb, Christian Bale.
Yeah. It's such a good movie that it was never really that popular when it came out. I'm going to find it. Where's his filmography? Here we go. This is older. Equilibrium.
Wait, I know.
You probably haven't seen it.
No, I know I've seen that. I think I own it, actually. I just got to... Where is it? Got to see the cover for it. Oh, yeah, I own that. That movie's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the Gung Fu movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's like, when that came out, nobody cared.
No. That movie's... If you've not seen Equilibrium, it's incredible.
Yes, it's one of the better movies that I've seen. When I saw it, I was like, how the hell did I never even hear of this?
Yeah.
Like, what went wrong in my mind that I didn't hear of it? I think somebody told me, I don't know if this is true, that it wasn't that big of a movie, because that's when, like, when all the Columbine stuff happened and, like, shooting and, like,
obviously, oh, really?
This movie is all guns and shooting.
They invented a martial arts for this movie.
Yeah. So it's like... I think somebody told me that, but I don't know if that's true.
It could be.
But yeah, I don't think it did that good in the box office either.
I doubt it.
Yeah, because I had never heard of it, and then I watched it, and I was like, wow, this is awesome.
Yep.
But yeah, a lot of the movies that are really, really good.
Never hear of.
Yeah, you never hear of, which is kind of crazy.
Those are my favorite movies, too. They're always, I guess I'm kind of a Sundance sucker, like. I don't know. I go for those movies. Like, I like every single one of them almost. So
yeah. Yeah, so... So, yeah, the well,
stuff.
I didn't really do much this week.
No?
It was my birthday weekend, so...
That's right, you didn't do much at all.
Here's the thing that I want to ask anybody who is listening, is that... Okay, so I went swimming and did all this stuff, and my ear has been not, like... My ear won't pop. It's really bothering me. It's been a week.
So you're hoping for some, like, impromptu medical advice from a listener?
Yes. No, it's really weird. I don't know why I want to talk about this on the podcast, but, like, I tried everything. Like, I got these eardrops. I really don't want to, like, I hate going to the doctor. It's, like, annoying. It's, like, takes up my whole day. Sit there.
Well, and, like, for that especially, you'll go to your regular doctor, and then they'll send you to a specialist.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to pay them, and then them, too.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And it's, like, okay, so I thought, like, I got these drops, and that, like, cleans out your ear. I don't know what, like, has the stuff in it. And then that didn't work. So then last night, I got, like, hydrogen. Somebody said hydrogen peroxide and water.
Oh,
I
really did that?
Yeah. That's not that bad.
Sounded terrible.
No. That actually felt really good because, like, it bubbles up in your ear.
Yeah.
I wake up this morning, still not done. And somebody said it might just be pressure. And I've tried everything. And I'm about to just, like, take a flight. I'm going to come see you. I'm going to, like, fly to...
just so you can get the air pressure.
Yeah, it's just really weird. Or it's like, I'm going to...
Can you pop them? I mean, no. Like, plug your nose and pop them?
No. It's just the one ear. It's just my right ear. So it's, like, it's very odd. And I want to know if anybody has some advice.
before you seek professional advice, please try things you find on
it. I've looked. I've been searching it all week, trying to figure out different things. I'm kind of just... It's so odd because, like, right now I have headphones on, so it's not bad. So you can't really notice it.
Yeah.
You know? But, like, I went out to dinner last night, and, like, I felt like I was in a bubble. Like, you don't feel like you're there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if one of your ears isn't popped, like, you kind of just feel like...
This takes you out of it.
It's kind of like, you know, I would assume it's sort of like if a grenade goes off by you and it kind of, like, messes with your ears for a while.
There. Like that scene in every movie when a bomb goes off and they're ringing and they're just kind of
that's kind of how I felt like at dinner last night. And I was
disorientation.
Like, I was like, this is so odd. Like, this is weird, you know? And it's been like that for a week. And I just wanted to just be relieved.
Yeah.
And the thing is like so many people online had said, oh, my doctor's just said it will just over time. It will just.
That's probably what they'll tell you.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I don't want to waste a whole day going to the doctor just to do that. But then everybody's
unless you have like some crazy like thing living in your ear now.
Well, the thing is, I think the hydrogen peroxide would have killed it.
But what if it's like stronger than that?
The thing that's in my ear.
Yeah,
I got like a rodent in there.
Yeah, exactly. You have a small rat living in your ear.
I don't think it's anything like that. I think that I would be like sick or something because there's no pain either. That's
what you get
thing.
For playing around in still water.
You know.
Exactly. Well, you've heard I'm sure you've heard stories of like people that wind up with like bees in their ears and like crazy things like that, right?
Yeah, but I think I'd feel pain. Like,
yeah,
it would be painful.
Maybe
it's not painful. It's just like annoying. It's just like you want your ear to pop. I don't know.
Just buzzing. No, you don't hear anything though, do you?
No, I don't hear any buzzing.
Like, I've heard stories of like people like they just have this ringing, buzzing noise in their ear and like. They can't hear well, and then, like, eventually they go to a doctor, like, a long time later, and they just have, like, a dead, like, fly in their ear.
I hope that's not... I really don't want to go... I just don't like going to the doctor. It's just not the thing.
Yeah. I know, because you were, like, dying, like, 4 times this past winter, and you, like, still didn't want to go.
When was I dying?
I don't know, like, all winter.
I don't remember that.
No?
I might have been. Yeah. There's been times where I've been, like, really sick where, like, I should have gone to the doctor, and I just don't go. It's not good.
No.
But yeah, so we'll wrap up the podcast.
Thanks for listening to our tech podcast.
About my ear. But no, if anybody has any suggestions, let me know because it's really annoying. And hopefully by next podcast it'll be fixed. If not, I'm going to have to go to the doctor, I feel. So
yeah.
So yeah. Or just get on a plane.
Yep.
And if that doesn't fix it, then something's in my ear. So
yeah. Maybe try the doctor first.
Yes. So, anyways, that is basically it. As always, we will have a page on the site that has all of the show notes from this week, all the links. So, if you hear something, you can go ahead and click and get to the article that we're talking about. And you can always subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You just go in there and type in Think Computers, all one word, and you're pretty much good to go. And that is it for this week, and we'll catch everybody next week.